listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hello, friends. Ed McGrogan and Steve Tigner here on this beautiful March day, the sun peering through the tree limbs, the azaleas, chrysanthemums, and dandelions peering up through the soil. And we stand here today to talk about not golf, that's coming up pretty soon in this heightened spring weather, but instead March's fabled tennis tournaments, beginning with the Indian Wells Masters. And so, Steve, I had that planned, and maybe I think you have to take over from there. I'm kind of spent after that intro.
That's good. A good connection with the Masters. Hopefully people will get that.
Yeah, we can only hope. We can only hope. But yeah, I mean, you know, overall, I think this is a good podcast opportunity. You know, we're recording this before Davis Cup, but we'll have a lot about that on tennis.com, you know, Thursday and through the weekend, of course. But I thought this was a good chance to kind of, you know, maybe put a bow on February and really more to the point, look ahead to March. You know, a big story, you know, March, of course, we have Indian Wells, Miami, the two big hard court events before you move to clay. Really, the big story of Indian Wells this year is Venus Williams. She makes a return after 15 years away. She just published a piece for the Players Tribune, which explained kind of her thoughts behind it. And you know, as you and I were saying, they do have some, you know, it's pretty well written. They did a good, if you can do a good job with John Scott's story, which they did. I think you have a lot of material here with Venus. You can kind of take that as you will. But you know, you read the piece, and you know, Venus is obviously a big deal when it comes to this tournament.
Yeah, you know, she announced that she's coming back for the first time since, I guess it's 2001. And I just thought it was interesting that it was pretty characteristic of her, you know, no matter who actually wrote the words, but Venus said that one of the reasons Serena decided to come back was she was reading about and hearing a lot about Nelson Mandela and about the idea of forgiveness and coming together. Venus was more like along the lines of, she talked about being there for her sister, but she also ended up talking about how she really just wants to go to a place where she can play tennis. She wants to play. In a way, it's a chance to play another tennis tournament for her. You know, the idea of that's always been her thing, really. It's just how much she loves the sport. That's always been, you know, kind of her focus. I think it was her enthusiasm for the sport as much as anything else that got Serena so involved in it. It was even more probably Venus's enthusiasm than say Richard Williams. But you know, Venus has always just loved playing. Is still 35, still, you know, looking for new tournaments to play, in a way, another tournament to play. So I feel like that's at the core of her comeback to this.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that's not sort of emblematic of the fact that she's even still playing at her age, and considering some of the health and physical issues that she's combated, I mean, that kind of sums it up there. Just wanting to embrace the game, continuing to do it for as long as possible. I mean, when you mention that, it does bring back to mind one of her post-match interviews at the U.S. Open a year or two ago, where she found that, I think I'm paraphrasing, but that it just felt so good to have that, to have that crowd to play for and behind her. And that does seem to tie a little bit to this. I mean, I also think that it was, you know, this tournament is, you know, for all I said there, Venus, of course, is not going to be playing for that much longer. We can only assume. And I think it would be, you know, something that would not be mentioned in the first two pages of her biography about all of her accomplishments and accolades in the sport, but it would be something that would probably be mentioned in retirement if she didn't end up ever playing there again, you know, and contrast that with Serena coming back last year and kind of making amends, if you will, you know, both parties really. So, and I think that's a good point you mentioned about, you know, really the parallel lives in a way that these two have led to a degree in tennis, that, you know, they've had very different careers, they're very different people, but I think it does stand to reason that we would probably not have the Serena Williams that we've seen and admired and have just been awestruck from on the court without Venus Williams and what she has, you know, both instilled in her and also motivated her to do.
Yeah, it also brings Indian Wells back, you know, as a top level women's tournament now. It really hasn't been for all those years that Serena and Venus weren't there. It was sort of a chance for other players to win. You know, it was still a great event, but you felt like there was always something missing from the women's side, and now it's, you know, now everybody's there again. And also strictly from Venus's season, this could be an important tournament for her. She started out horribly, losing her first two matches, but then she won a tournament in Taiwan. Seemed to get on track a little bit. This would be another chance, you know, another chance for her to continue with that. We'll see.
And, you know, for the women's side of Indian Wells, we have, you know, something to consider for sure is Simona Halep, and that's a player who has really not had a great start to this season at all. Whether it's kind of the next year of expectation for her, or, you know, whatever the explanation is, you know, she's defending a lot of points here as defending champ. So it's a big tournament for her as well, and I think maybe a good, you know, perhaps a time by the time this month is over to kind of really assess where we think Halep is right now. Because, I mean, hard courts are her surface, you know, I would say the best, you know, surface that she is on. She has obviously some great results on clay as well, but I think maybe this is, maybe when 30 days have elapsed here and we're done with Indian Wells in Miami, we can, you know, make some more definitive statements on where, you know, where Simona stands right now.
Yeah, she had her best results last year in U.S. hard courts, North American hard courts. She won Indian Wells. She played a good match against Serena in Key Biscayne, played another good match against her in Cincinnati. So I think, you know, now it's a year later, and you sort of, now she has to defend those points. And now, you know, I think she had reached a point where she was number two. They're really, you know, like a lot of the other women who've gone up to that position, there wasn't anywhere else she could go in a way. Serena was in the way. But she won this tournament last year, so this is really the first time, you know, as far as her, you know, the way she's been playing now, that if she continues to play that way, it'll really hurt her. You know, her ranking will drop, the points will come off. You'll start to get a feeling like this is going to be a bad year for her. So I feel like we'll see how she reacts to that kind of pressure, or whether she even feels it. You know, we've seen her have a lot of ups and downs in the last couple of years, and she's bounced back. Maybe that's what we'll see here. I don't know. She hasn't seemed that into it this year, you know, this season so far. She wanted to take time off to have an operation, and she decided not to do that. So I think she's the most interesting person, you know, woman in the women's draw starting out, you know, to just get a gauge of where she is.
And I'm also curious, I'm thinking about some other players that this is a big tournament for on the women's side. First off, you know, we didn't really mention Serena that much at the top, but I am curious to see what the follow-up is to last year here, because there is clearly a lot of baggage that was associated with that last year. She almost lost her opener to, was it Niculescu?
Mm-hmm, yeah,
it was, you know, tricky opponent for sure, but, you know, I do wonder if we didn't really get, you know, the full Serena treatment on the courts for that. And so I kind of wonder what the sequel holds for her here as well. And, you know, you mentioned about Halep not perhaps, you know, not giving off the impression of having, you know, really kind of enjoying this year. You know, it makes sense considering the results, but you know, I contrast that with someone like Sloane Stephens, who I want, who, you know, we've hardly ever said that before this year. Now she comes off, and I wonder really, you know, what this tournament could say about her. She'll get some pretty prime billing, of course, too, but she's coming off a title in Acapulco. Also, you know, that's her second of the year. You know, we're seeing that kind of what her easy power can kind of breed when she's playing in the right frame of mind. And you know, we did a pretty big story last year in Tennis Magazine about Kamau Murray, who is working with her. And you know, I think he brings, he's not a seasoned pro by, you know, former player by any means, but he has experience in those ranks, and I think he kind of has given her such a different mentality, and I think that's gotten really good results out of her. So I wonder, you know, where this month holds for both Serena and Sloane, actually.
Yeah, it's true. For Serena, she didn't play, you know, we haven't seen her since the Australian Open, had a kind of weird loss in the final there, didn't play, pulled out of Doha and Dubai. And she didn't win this tournament last year. She pulled out of this tournament in the semifinals. Part of me thinks that she'll really want to win this tournament this time. You know, last year was the comeback, this year, but it sort of ended prematurely. But this year, maybe she'll want to really, you know, prove herself here again. And for Sloane, it's true. You don't know with Sloane. She won in Auckland, and then she lost quickly at the Australian Open. Now she's won in Acapulco. I did get a feeling she enjoyed herself, and she even said that afterwards, as much as she ever has playing tennis. Maybe that atmosphere, maybe that experience there will carry over. You don't know what's next for her. But she has done well at Indian Wells in the past. She's quarterfinalist. She took a set from Serena last year. She's an interesting case. It's also interesting that she's now ahead of Madison Keys in the rankings. She's third in the U.S. behind the Williams sisters. So that's, I don't think anybody expected that. That's a surprise coming into the year. So it's, you know, it's sort of time to turn your attention back to her.
Yeah, and boy, if there was any place to have a all Williams final, I mean, that you know, uh-huh, be quite something with, you know, the history of that there. Yeah, and Simona now down to number 5. We're just looking at the rankings. Also very curious to see what Anjali Kerber does here, too. You know, we'll have the number 2 ranking, obviously the Australian Open champion. And perhaps, you know, I think also Radwanska, kind of an interesting case to me. I still feel the momentum's kind of there. This would be another... She's won this or Miami before. I just can't remember which one. I think it was Miami, but you know, I think certainly another sort of where, you know, where she is. I just think overall this is a particular interest in women's event. Muguruza has been as poor as Halep this year, so we want to see where she is. We'll get some interesting matches with the rankings alone, with Sharapova down to 7, Kvitova down to 9. There should be, you know, really quite a bit to work with here in terms of early round, you know, highlight matches. Azarenka at 15. You know, this, you know, Indian Wells is kind of a tournament the way I described it in writing like a tournament preview earlier this year was, it's the Grand Slams, but you're kind of trimming the fat of like the first two rounds, where you really are going to be stretching to see anything of great drama. You kind of get those right away.
Yeah, I think on the women's side this time, maybe the interest is after February, where, you know, what did that mean? What did all this sort of craziness, all the upsets mean? Will that end? Will we see the best players win again? Was that just kind of a one-off, or will that continue? You know, like you said, it's interesting. You know, there's a lot of people who haven't had a great start or didn't have a great February who will be interesting to follow. Serena, Kerber, Radwanska has had success, but but she's another interesting case. Muguruza, they're all of them will come to Indian Wells, I think, with really feeling like they want to get the seasons on track before the slams come up.
Let's move, with that said, let's move to the men's. I think that is a really good point, by the way, about what this the chaos, really, of February meant, if anything, and if we'll kind of put that into the recesses after Indian Wells and Miami. For the men's side, we're not going to – I think the big news for the men is who we're not going to see. We're going to see Venus in the women's tournament. We're not going to see Roger Federer in Indian Wells. He is still recovering from his injury. We've seen he's been active on social media, not on the tennis courts. So for Roger, I don't think this is too much of an issue for him, really. He has already catered his calendar. He pared down the clay events significantly, originally. Now, he did put Monte Carlo on his schedule after removing Indian Wells. That's kind of a neat sort of exchange, because he's actually has not played Monte Carlo that often since it's been a non-mandatory Masters. The way Federer, I think, is projecting and kind of looking ahead, clearly, it, as always, it is about the slams for Roger at this point. And, to me, I think there's no sense in him trying to make this if it's not going to be worth what's going on. He did make an appearance in California. It was just for the Oscars. It's not for Indian Wells. And, really, I think he's just centered on Europe now.
Yeah, Federer's season's always based around Wimbledon first. And this year, I think, last year he talked about Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. This year, you throw in, there's Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, and the Olympics this year. So I think that's when things peak for him, and he'll start again in Monte Carlo. I think he had planned not to play any clay events, so I don't think he thinks his window at the French Open is basically past, which it probably has. But yeah, there was no real surprise that he wasn't going to play Indian Wells. Though, he's four-time champion, and I think there was a tournament he continued to take seriously even outside of the majors.
Right. Now, for the men's side, we've kind of looked a bit at perhaps dark horses on the women's side. Indian Wells has really been, we've given it obviously that major sort of that level just under the major status. And if you look really, I would say practically almost the last decade of the event, I mean, it has been near impossible for anyone to break through besides the top tier, which has been the MO at the slams for just as long of a stretch. Djokovic, Murray, both be playing Davis Cup this week. Djokovic, he actually pulled out of last week's event, retired with an eye infection problem. Maybe let's start with Djokovic just a bit, and then maybe consider if perhaps there's even a slight opening for someone else. I guess one part of that would need to be considered is, now that Djokovic has had that spectacular 2015, has really sort of become this, the undisputed number one, really has already made himself an all-time great. Does his focus in your opinion shift at all? Because, from sort of, and not that this is a minor event, but does the importance, I think, that he seemed to have placed on it for years, does that in your mind change to you just based on how well he's done over the past few years?
Yeah, you would start to suspect that these would mean less to him. I think it did for Federer at a certain point, winning these after he'd won these three or four times, Indian Wells and Miami, they came to maybe mean a little less. He didn't win those for a few years after his dominant years. And maybe that's something that happens to Djokovic. But he's, obviously he's always loved these tournaments, this is his best surface, probably one of his best times of the year. it doesn't lead to a slam. It doesn't lead, you know, he's got to be thinking French Opens and French Open and Olympics at this point. I just feel like when, you know, once he gets out there and starts to play matches, though, he won't feel any less drive to win. You know, it'll kick in and he'll be as competitive as ever. I guess that's the hope among the rest of the field, that he just takes these a little less seriously than he did, and his mind is maybe thinking more long term this season with the Olympics there and the French Open to win than he has in the last few years. I guess I'm just trying to think of possible ways.
Yeah, it is tough to, you know, foresee, just because we've really only seen him go at one speed for so long, and there's no inclination of, you know, the fact that he retired from a match is really a blip on the radar, and he was, you know, already getting off to such a good start this year. So, you know, beyond that, I mean, who interests you from a men's perspective at this tournament, with kind of, we've discussed Djokovic and really the omission of Roger Federer a bit, but, you know, along the rankings, you know, who are some men that sort of you probably want to pay a little more attention to, maybe this month means a little bit more than the rest?
Well, I think you want to look, you know, Rafa fans and tennis fans in general it'll be interesting to see what he does here. He was fair at best at the clay court events. In South America, he lost in the first round of the Australian Open. Indian Wells is one of his favorite tournaments. He won it when he made his big comeback in 2013. You know, what is he like now on hard courts? Is it? I think there's something on the line for him. Does he another early exit, and you really get the feeling like his season is going to go south? Mm-hmm. But then again, he gets to the final, something like that. You feel like, all right, maybe he's back in form for the French Open. You start to think that way. Otherwise, I think, you know, the interesting people will be if they're in the event. People that we saw last month play well: Kyrgios, Nick Kyrgios, Dominic Thiem, Alexander Zverev. If those young guys are in the tournament, this is a, you know, you feel like this is a place where they sort of a next level, next step for them. They've done pretty well at smaller 250s and 500 level events. You want to see what Thiem now can do at this tournament. He's got a lot of points to defend in Miami. He didn't do that well in Indian Wells, but he's somebody, you know, he just won his first hard court event. So I think he's a guy that people will be looking at a lot.
Yep. And, you know, I think just for curiosity's sake, I'm kind of wondering what we're going to get from Akena Shikori, someone who I think we're been down a little bit on. I just kind of wonder, you know, does he kind of flag the, you know, what is just kind of been, you know, kind of stagnating a little bit. We just kind of wondering what the next move is for him. So I think, you know, with a top seed, you know, we'll see him play quite a few matches going in this event. Kind of take it where that goes. I like the Kyrgios mention. I think that's a little bit more interesting from beyond, you know, just a drama perspective after what he did in February. So, you know, I think overall this is, you know, really Indian Wells to me a little more interesting on the women's side this year, and you know that's no surprise considering, you know, the recent returns of the Williams sisters, and I think a little bit of, you know, more than a lot of uncertainty as to where the tour has really shifted after, you know, a February that just had upset after upset, and we'll maybe get a better idea after March. So, with that said, that'll be it for today's podcast, and you know we'll be back next week to really get set for Indian Wells. We'll have the draws at that point, and Steve and I will dissect those as per usual. So for Steve Tigna, this is Ed McGrogan. Thank you again for listening to the Tennis.com podcast.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.